I want to continue on the story of Gideon. A couple of weeks back, I spoke about the story of Gideon, where God says the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon in the midst of Gideon not knowing what he's doing. Gideon thrashing wheat in a wine press, and he is so depressed and he is so down in the midst of it. The angel of the Lord comes and sits there, and he says, "Mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Before I go any further, I just want to thank Jack. I've got it on my notes. Thank Jack for taking good care of that. Jack and Sina for taking good care of us while we were in Samoa. He was very good to us. So he went the day before and took care of us and left after we got on the plane. So he was there just to take care of us. It was really, really cool just to go into this culture and just to understand a little bit and enjoy the culture there. Thanks, Jack, for that. But coming back to Gideon was really down, and they were being, the Bible says that every year, every time when they grew something, the Midianites will come and just take the whole thing off, and they will disappear. So these guys were living in a really, really terrified state of affairs, and so he was hiding himself. And when the Lord shows up to Gideon, what Gideon says is, when the angel of the Lord says, "Mighty man of valor," Gideon looks at the angel and he says, "Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?" And then he says, "If the Lord is with us," and he says, because it says, "Mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." Right now, maybe some of you are thinking the same thing. If the Lord is with me, why would my life be like this? If the Lord is with me, why would I be so scared in my life? If the Lord is with me, and if I'm the mighty man or woman of valor, why would I be so scared? And what is it that God is seeing that I'm not seeing? The thing that I want to remind you this morning again is there are a lot of things that you and I don't see in our own self. But God sees a lot more. You know why God sees a lot more into who you are and why God declares what he's declaring? Because the Bible says even before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And also he says he knit you together. So there is no one on this planet who knows you. Neither do you know yourself, who you are, and the way that God has designed you, because only God knows how he has designed you, and because of that, he is saying, you and I are mighty men and women of valor. Or in other words, and the reason that you and I are mighty men and women of valor is because the Lord is with you. It is not in our own strength, but the reason that you and I are strong in our weakness, in everything that is happening in our lives, in the midst of it, not God is not calling Gideon a mighty man of valor after he has won the victories. You see that? We want to crown someone after they've won victories. Yeah? You don't have champions before the championship. But God calls you a champion before the championship because he sees you. And that's the reason when John baptized Jesus, as soon as he came out, when the Holy Spirit God came upon him in the form of a dove, the Father God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Even before he did a miracle, even before he said yes to go on to the cross, even before he was praying, even before he has done anything, God declared that this was his Son in whom he was well pleased. But you and I, the way that we do is, as I said, we crown champions after the championship. You only call me whatever you want to call me only when I have achieved something. For example, Jordan, we say, Jordan is a fantastic soccer player. But God called him a soccer player even before he even played, he even kicked a ball. The prophetic word that he got about 5 years back was then he was just kicking the ball around. He was playing. He was about 13 or something like that. So he was starting to play. But without, this guy had no idea who this kid was. But he called him and he said, "Hey, God has got a hand on you." And he said, "You're going to play. You play some games. You play something with the ball. This is what he said. I remember I was standing at the back there that evening for a youth service. And he said, but God's going to bless you. That was before he was a champion, before he started believing in himself. That's what God does. God calls you that you are his beloved and that you're a champion. You're a mighty man and woman of valor even before you have done anything. And that's what he's doing. And that's where even Gideon was feeling, if I am a mighty man of valor, if God is with me, why am I hiding? Why am I, if the presence of God is with me, why are these things happening? If the presence of God is with me, why are the Midianites coming in, cleaning us up every year? But the thing was, what the angel of the Lord was doing right now was speaking over Gideon for the things that God has for Gideon. And that was not to just make Gideon feel good. Let me also tell you, there are times when we want to receive a prophetic word, it's because we want to feel good. But the thing is, the angel of the Lord wasn't sitting there to just stroke the ego of Gideon. He was actually prophesying. He was speaking because God had a plan and a purpose for Gideon. And the purpose and the plan was to set his people free. That was the main thing. And that was the reason the angel of the Lord was prophesying and speaking over Gideon, is because he's saying, hey, mighty man of valor, it's not just to stroke my ego and I feel good. Many times we want to be prophesied. Many times we want to be in the presence of God. Many times we want a word from the Lord because we just want our ego to be stroked. But the reason that God prophesies over us, the reason that he said to his son, Jesus, that he is my son in whom I'm well pleased, because he had a plan and a purpose for him, and that is for him to set you and me free. In the same way, when God is speaking and saying you are a mighty man and woman of valor, what he's saying is, hey, you are great in my sight. You know why? Because I've got an assignment for you. I've got something for you, and that something is to set people free. Right through the Bible, if you see, when God came and spoke to someone, it says, I heard the cry of my people. I heard, I saw. And because of that, he's coming to you and he's coming to me and he said, hey, you are a mighty man and a woman of valor. Not just for us to feel good, not for us to make a lot of money, not for us to just make a name. Of course your name's going to be made. Of course you're going to have a good life. The reason that you and I have a good life is just because we hang out with God. It's not in our material things, but it is just because we hang out with God. Blessings are going to flow. If I hang out with a rich man, what are going to happen to me? If I hang out with someone who's got a lot more influence, what happens to me is the what is on them flows onto me. When I was with Jack in Samoa, what was on him? A lot of us don't know. He's in his chief thingy, he's quite big there. And his family thing, they're quite big. They've got lots of lands and all these sort of things. But then when you go there, because I'm hanging out with Jack, what happens is what is Jack's becomes mine. Because I'm walking in this. When Jack goes and there's doors open, so I walk through those doors. Not because of me, but because of Jack. And what I'm trying to say is, because you and I hang out with God, the doors that open for God, I walk through them. And then sometimes you feel like, oh my goodness, doors are opening because I'm so great. No, it's not about you. It's about God. Because you're hanging out with God. And that's the reason we hang out with. That's not the reason that we hang out with God. But we hang out with God because we love him. And when you hang out with God, things are bound to happen. They cannot but happen. They will happen. And so this is what it is. And God said to me, he says, when I prophesy over you, it is not, when I declare something over you, it is not to stroke your ego, but it is to set people free. The reason that is saying something to you, the reason that is put something in your heart to minister or to do something or to prosper in your business, the reason that God wants you to prosper in your business or in anything that you do is so that. There's always a so that. That you can be a blessing to people. The thing is, if you're not walking in what God has got for you, what you're doing is you're depriving people around you of what they could have had or what they can have. So that's the reason. We want to be walking in what God is saying. So he says, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And also the amazing thing that I wanted to talk about is also when I said last week, when we go to God, when we go to God. So in that story, I hope you've read. If you haven't, you read Judges chapter 6 to 9. And it gives you the whole story. When this encounter happens, and then after this encounter, Gideon goes and says, I'm going to bring an offering to you. I'm going to bring an offering to you. So he goes and gets a goat and gives an offering to the angel of the Lord. And then what happens is, I'm reading it. And he offers, and the angel of the Lord consumes the offering there, and suddenly he is in awe, and he said, yeah, this is definitely God. And then when he had this encounter, when he brings an offering and is listening to God, now God's got his attention fully. Maybe some of us, we still need to give our attention to God right now. But some of us, God has already got our attention. So when God has got our attention, then I also said a couple of weeks back, and this has been on my heart, whenever you have an encounter with God, there is always something that happens. He says, hey, now that you've had an encounter with me, now that I've revealed myself to you, I want you to do something now. I want you to do something. If you see Moses, the burning bush, the burning bush was something that caught his attention. So he goes there and he says, hey, hello. Hello. And he says, yep, I want you to do something for me. I want you to do something. And the same thing happens here too. And then after that, in verse 28, verse 21, and the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff. This is when he gave an offering that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now, 22, verse 22, chapter 6. Now, Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, he said, hello, I know and I recognize who you are now. And then the Lord says to him, he says, now it came. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. So when you have an encounter, God's saying, hey, it's okay, you're all good. I'm not going to destroy, I'm not going to do anything with you. But he says, peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. Verse 24, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still there. So the thing is, what I wanted to call this message was, or maybe we'll call it now, is to say, we're going to bring down some altars and we're going to build some altars. We need to bring down some altars and we need to build some altars. Or the other thing is, we build altars, we break down altars. Whichever sequence that you want to and whatever sequence that God is saying to you, that's what we do. When he had an encounter, he builds an altar. And an altar is an acknowledgement of the presence of God and saying, God, oh, you're here. And he dwells with us. And now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, verse 25, now God is saying, when he built an altar, God is saying, you need to bring down some altars. So this morning, I want to encourage each one of us to find out, what are the altars that you need to bring down? There are some altars that we have built or people have built. And this altar is not built by Gideon, but it is built by his father and his people. And this is what it says, verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has. So he's saying, the altar that your father has built, I want you to break it down. Now that you've built an altar for me, I want you to break something down. And he said that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock. So what he's saying is, you got to destroy the altar of Baal, and you need to build an altar for me. So that's what I've been challenged this morning, and to say to you and to say to myself too, there are altars that I need to break them down. Maybe these altars are not built by you, but they're altars built by your father, your culture, or something that has happened in your life. You built these altars. And but God is saying to you and me this morning is, you have to burn this altar, bring this altar down. Couldn't God do it? Couldn't God just would have gone? But there are times when this is another thing that I'm like, oh, okay, God, why can't you do it? Why can't you do it for me? But God says, you built it, you burn it down. You built it, you burn it down. But the amazing thing is, he's not asking you to do it in your own strength, but he's saying, mighty man of valor, I am with you. I am with you. And he's not saying, oh, just do it. He's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. So bring down some altars this morning. I don't know what those altars are. And it says, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. He's saying these things have been done in your life which are not right. So we're going to break it down, and I'm going to build it right up. So this morning, whatever you're feeling, maybe there are things that have happened in your life, but what God is saying is, hey, those things that have happened because of your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your circumstances, whatever has happened, God says, this is time. It's time to bring down those altars. So I want us to actually bring down those altars. In verse 28, and when the men of the city rose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down. And the second bull was being offered on the altar which was built. So they said to one another, who has done this? You know what? When you're burning down things, when you're breaking down altars in your life, there'll be people around you who say, who is this person? Why? Who's doing it? Why? Because you've grown up with this for all your life, and it has become a part of your life. Suddenly you feel like, it feels like you can't do it, but you and I need to burn down some of these altars, or bring down some of these altars. And this morning, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to figure out what those altars are. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I don't know. You wish I told you what the altars were that you have to bring down, but I don't know because I don't know your life. But the thing is, God knows you. And if you listen to God, God wants to talk to you, and God wants to tell you what are some of those things that you need to bring down. But also in bringing these down, Gideon could have said, hey, God, that's not an altar that I built. I didn't do it. My father did it. Tell my father to break them down. Or so-and-so have done it. Tell them to do it. But no, what he says is, you have to burn those things down and break them down. And God wants to make some shifts in your life. But also, I heard that last week, Karen spoke on shame. I haven't heard the podcast yet, but I will listen to it. And I heard that it was really good. But this, as I was preparing again about this Sunday, of course, from the story of Gideon, but I just felt like God wanted me to speak about blame in my life and blame in your life too. There are times when we are blaming someone for what's happened in our lives. And it is absolutely true. It is absolutely true because of the mistakes or because of things that have happened in our past, we are who we are. But what God is saying is, hey, stop blaming those things. Let us come, you and me. And he said, you and me, and let's bring down some of those altars, some of the things that have happened in your life, and we are going to break them down. So we shouldn't be blaming things. So God wants to challenge us this morning and say, hey, don't blame. Blame about things, because the story that we hear straight away, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam sinned, when God comes, the first thing that Adam says to God is, The woman that she gave me made me eat it. Instead of saying responsibility and saying, oh God, I mucked it up. I messed it up. I'm really, 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 really sorry. Instead of doing that, he had the audacity, and we still have it. I was saying, oh, the woman that you gave, I didn't ask for it. You gave her, and because of the woman that you gave, she made me do this. And we do that on a regular basis. And we say, the job that you gave me, the family that you've given me, the city that I'm in, the nation that I'm in, the surroundings that you brought me into, we always start to blame something and we start to blame it back on God. We're saying, God, it is you. And in James chapter 1, verses 17 to 18, where it says, God cannot be tempted and God will not tempt you. So we cannot blame God, but we say actually take responsibility, or we go back to God and say, God, how do I deal with this thing? There are times when we said, oh God, the thing that you've given me. And I can say, God, all this gray hair, oh my goodness, it is because of Sunil. No. It is not. It is because of the church that you called me to. It is because of the ministry that you gave me. Oh my God, all the wrinkles on my face. You know why? Because of the, why did you call me into this nation, God? Otherwise, I would have had completely black hair because I would have dyed it anyway if I was in India. You called me into this nation, it's all my, I look much older because of what you have placed on me. Oh my goodness, this is such a big burden. But God is saying, no, don't blame it. He's saying, okay, take good care of yourself. So what he's saying is we need to stop blaming God or stop blaming people around. I can always say everything that's happening in my life is because of you people. Because if only you heard God and you did everything that God told you, I don't have to be worried so much. If the church is perfect, I would be really, really, really looking very young, but that's not the point. The point is we always blame. Or we say, okay, God, the job that you've given me. There are times when we say, oh, the God job that I've given you, but the problem is the job that I was given to you was because you prayed. And I said, God, please give me a job. And after that, God gives you a job. I'm like, I never thought that the job was going to be so hard. I didn't think it was going to be. Oh, that beautiful girl I wanted to be my wife. And I was suddenly like, oh my goodness, I didn't think that she was so demanding. The woman that you gave me, stop looking, Kim. You're like, stop. We're like, God, the girl that I thought was so perfect. From far apart. Now, oh my goodness, she's demanding. The children that I wanted, oh my goodness, they looked so cute when they were other people's babies. But now I have to clean them up and I can't sleep through the night. And I look so tired, the babies that you've given me, God. We start blaming things. But God says, no, take responsibility. And he's saying, okay, now we say, okay, we turn around and say, hey, God, now that I have these babies, now that I have this husband who's so demanding. No, I wasn't going to look at it. And all the culture that, oh, we blame the culture. We said, oh, my goodness, when I was back in India, it was so good. But now I come to New Zealand, and man, this New Zealand culture is driving me nuts. Go back. Simple. For me, if an immigrant is mourning about this nation, I want to literally tell them, go back. Don't cry here. Go cry in your own country. I can say that. You guys can. That's, honestly, there are times when I feel like telling a lot of people who live in this nation, when they complain about this nation, I want to smack them. Won't tell you where, but send them back where they come from and say, go, don't cry here. Please, what we've got is just phenomenal. But also the reason that he has brought you here and he has placed you in this nation is because he says you're a mighty woman and a man of valor. And he has called you into this nation. If you're making money in this nation, you're called to this nation. Don't tell me you're making money here and you want to send it all to India. No. You're in this nation, you build this nation. You're called to this nation, you're paying taxes, you're doing everything. Stay here, do the best that you can. Don't just cry about it. So let us not blame for everything. There are things that I want to say. Anger. We say, I won't lose my temper if the car in front of me or beside me cut me off. If the car wouldn't have cut me off, I would be such a good man. The car. It was not me. It was the car. Or my co-workers, only if they were easier and if they were a little bit smarter. Man, workplace would be so fantastic. I wouldn't be yelling at them. Only if my kids behaved, only if my kids were like so-and-so's kids. Man, it would be so good. I wouldn't be angry about them if they were like so-and-so's. If only my spouse was more considerate and sensible, a little more sensitive, a little more sensible, then I would be, oh, my marriage would be perfect. I wouldn't be angry. I wouldn't be yelling at anyone. Impatience, I would be a very patient person if it wasn't for the traffic jams and long lines in the grocery store when we were coming back from Samoa. It was about 1 o'clock in the night, and we were coming out, and we went to, Sam wanted some deodorant and duty-free, so we bought it, and I was like, I want to get out of this place, bought it, and at that time, the receipt machine, the roll finished off, and the girl can't fix it. I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was really getting impatient and angry and frustrated, so I was trying to be nice and calm, look away. She was there, and I was standing like this, and Sunitha knew exactly what I was feeling. But I thought, I was telling myself, calm down, calm down. And finally, I said, hey, do I need a receipt to get out? She says, no. I said, I don't need a receipt. So I got out. So we become impatient in queues and lines and stuff like that, and we become really impatient. If I didn't have so many things to do, oh, man, I have to do the whole thing. I have to pick up this, pick up that, I have to do this, and everybody, oh my goodness. When you're able to do it, thank God and say, oh my goodness, I can actually do all these jobs. Let's be thankful. If the people around me weren't so slow, I would never become impatient. Lust, I would have a pure mind if there weren't so many sensual images in our culture. If the billboards were clean, oh my goodness, my mind would be so good. If there weren't so many ads coming through the internet, my mind would be very clear. If so-and-so dressed up better, or if they didn't do this, my mind would be so clean and perfect and pure to go to church. Just because as I was coming to church, this woman, seriously, your mind should be better than that. Anxiety, I wouldn't worry about the future. If my life were just a little more secure, if I had more money and no health problems, come on, you can go, you're ready. If those are your problems, you know what? You're ready to go to heaven. Yeah? If you don't want any of those problems, you're ready to go to heaven. Spiritual apathy. My spiritual life would be so much more vibrant, and I would struggle less with sin. If, Maxine, the sermons were better. I was looking at how I can get back to you. If the sermons were better, if the worship leader was a little bit sensitive, and if he was a little bit more mature, these young fellows, they don't know what they're playing, they're too loud, they do this, they do that. If only the worship was a little bit better, my spirituality would be better. My small groups, if they were more encouraging, if they were more this, if they're more that, oh man, I would be really good. Or if the people were a bit more friendly when I go to church, and if they were more welcoming, if the coffee was warmer rather than a little bit of cold coffee, it was hot coffee, and if the usher would give me a hug. We've got all these excuses, and we say, but if these things happened, I would be a better person. I would be better spiritually. We got a critical spirit. We got bitterness. We got, this is a good one for me. If only my wife did not cook so good. If only that there wasn't KFC. in my vicinity, man, I would not be a glutton. If only this church did not talk about food all the time, I would not be a glutton. I would be a perfectly well-fit person. If only I didn't get the amazing juicy steaks here. If only I didn't have the soft drinks. If only I didn't have this. If only I didn't have that. If only somebody did not tempt me with this. If only Donna did not bake these amazing cakes. I would not be a glutton. But the problem is, you are a glutton even before Donna baked the cake. Simple as that. So this gluttony, this gossip, is the people around me who start the conversations. You're right. I never wanted to talk about so-and-so, but so-and-so started the conversation. Sunita said, do you know? And I said, yes, and I told all the stories. But Sunita was the one who started the conversation. If she wouldn't have asked about so-and-so, I wouldn't have told the whole story. But she started the story, so I had to tell the whole story. I'm a good Christian. I have to tell the truth. Self-pity, this is another one. I'll never be happy because my marriage, my family, my job, my ministry is so difficult. If it wasn't for that, I would be such a good boy. I'd be so on fire for God. If it wasn't for all of you people, I would be on fire for God. If it wasn't for the culture of New Zealand, man, I would be on fire for God. If I wasn't a Southeast Asian nation, or if I wasn't South America, because there's a move of God there. If I was only there, oh man, I would have seen miracles happening. Our God is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he says he is willing to do some miracles. Of course, this is a different nation. There's a lot more happening. There's a spiritual bondage here, but we got to break through. Now, this is the last one I'll finish. I would be more generous if I had more money. Selfishness. It's not just about the money. Oh, when I make. I'll start tithing when I make. That's not, nah. Tithing is, even if you make a dollar, tithe is 10%. Or you give God. It doesn't matter if you make a dollar. There were times when, if I made $100, oh my gosh, I can give $10. Oh, this is a little bit silly to give 10 cents. That's okay. Sue is the one who's counting it. You're not the one who's counting it. She'll count all the 10 cents. That's okay. Not your problem. Hey, I want to give God. Generous spirit. It's not about the amount that you give, but it is just the heart. We got to get over the selfishness. Because of our selfishness, there are a lot of things that we do. So these are some of the altars. If they're not in this 12, I can take them all off. But if they're not in this 12, but also there are some personal things that you need to break these altars down. You got to say, I'm going to break this altar down. Maybe your addictions, maybe there's an addiction that you're going through and you're saying, I need to break this altar down. And God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. And you know what? I'm the angel of the Lord this morning for you. Because the angel of the Lord sat there on the under the tree, and as Gideon was doing his own thing, he turned and said, hey, mighty man of valor, the Lord says he's with you. So today, I'm the angel of the Lord. I'm the voice of the Lord. I'm saying to you, every one of you, mighty woman, mighty man of valor. And he says, I am with you. And you and I need to have a conversation with God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Which altar should I burn right now? Which altar should I burn right now? And which is the altar that I need to build right now? So let's stop blaming God, people, and everybody. Let's take just responsibility right now and say, God, I am where I am. But I want to say, God, help me. He's going to help you break those barriers. But also there are times when we said, oh God, we need to build these altars. My dad built this altar a long time ago when we're going to pray together. We're going to read the word. These are some altars that we need to build back into our lives. You need to set some times. I know we're very busy people, but we're not that busy at all. We're not that busy. I was going to ask how many of you have Netflix, or I was going to ask how many of you have YouTube channels, and I was going to ask how many of you have internet at your house. But don't show your hands, because everyone who says you've got internet at your house, I'm sure you got at least a couple of hours, because we watch Facebook, we watch social media, we watch this thing and we watch that thing. I do. That's the reason I'm speaking about it. I'm not speaking as if I don't know. I'm speaking because I know. And I'm saying that's an altar that we need to bring it down. And we're saying, okay, God, I can tell you, this is one altar that I need to break down, is I can sit in front of the TV for the whole day. If I can watch cricket for a whole 6 hours, guess what? I can do the rest of the hours too. But I can sit there and I can do it and I can do it and I can do it. And I can think, oh, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. But let me tell you something. There are some altars that you and I need to break down. Maybe some of you has to break down. Maybe the workplace that you're in, maybe it's not the right workplace, but God speaks to you and he says, and if he's saying to you, not because I'm saying to you, but it's God speaking to you, to you, to your heart. And if he says, hey, this is not the right job for you to let go of it, let go of it. And you're thinking, okay, how do I pay my bills next week? I don't know. If God is saying it, just do it. And maybe there are relationships which are not right. The groups that you're involved in are not right. You need to cut them off. And you need to step out. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to step out of these relationships. I'm going to step out of these toxic environments that I need to. I'm going to break these barriers. I'm going to break this altar. And I'm going to build a new altar. I'm going to build a new community of people around me. In closing, when I was on Samoa, Jack and Sina were with me. Me and Sina, Miriam's daughter. After the evening service, we were walking out. There were a few hundred people in that church. And as we were walking out, in about 5 minutes, everybody disappeared. And so Sina turned to me and I said, oh, isn't it strange that here, after church in 5 minutes, everybody has gone home. There's no one here. And she herself said, oh, you know why? Because everybody knows everybody. And she was like, people don't come to church to meet people. I'm like, okay, so why do people come? So people come to church to meet God. She said, oh, people come to church to meet God, but because they have a community, they don't have to make it a community. But here in New Zealand, we need to build a community because we don't have a community. And this is my community. You may think like, I don't need you. Let me tell you, honestly, I need you. I need you for my sanity of my brain, sanity of my life. I need you. I need you to text me. I need you to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I need you to say, I'm thinking of you. I need you to say, I need you to think about me. Not because I'm selfish, but because I need a community. You know why? When God created, God always created us to have a community, have a society, have a community. God never intended you and me to be individuals. Never, never, never. God always created us to be dependent on God and dependent on each other. So that's another altar that we need to break, that we have built, that the Western society has built, where we're saying, well, I'm not going to be an individual. I'm going to be a part of a kind of group. I know I have to get up in the cold and go after I've had a good, nice meal. Oh my goodness, I don't feel like I just want to cuddle and watch Netflix. Yep, you can watch Netflix. But this one Wednesday or one Tuesday or a Thursday, you need to say, no, I'm going to get out because I need some sanity. I need my community. I know these young people come to my house to have, they have connect group at my place. These guys don't leave till about 10:30. I want to kick them out, but they don't want to leave till 10:30. Till they come, I'm sure they would be thinking, oh, I wish I don't go. But oh, just because I said to Sam that I'm going to come, I'm going to come. But you come and then they just enjoy. There are times when I didn't want to go to connect group. I didn't want to go to connect group, but there were times when I went to a connect group. I sat there because there were things happening in our lives. I remember once, a few years back, there were things happening in my life and Sunita's life. There was sort of thing. And at that moment, we went to connect group. And after that, we went to connect group and we were there. And God did something in our lives, in my life, and it turned around. And we actually, on the way back, we stopped by the side of the road after the connect group and we conversed. We talked. That's what community does. That's what God does, because God says where two or three gather, of course he's in your heart, where one in him, two. No, but he says two or three and more. When we gather together, the presence of God is there and God will do something. So you and I need each other. I need you. I need you. So these are some of the things. Let me prophesy once again and say, mighty man and woman of valor, the Lord is with you. I don't know what you're going through, but in the midst of that, in the midst of your being scared, in the midst of your uncertainty, in the midst of pain, in the midst of confusion, God says He is with you. God's with you. Just close your eyes for just a couple of seconds and let God minister to you. Maybe there are people that you need to call and build bridges this afternoon. Maybe that's an altar that you got to build. Maybe you need to build an altar for God, just for you and God, and say, God, my heart longs to spend more time with you, but my body, but my mind is all over the place. But say, God, no, I'm going to come after you, God. I'm going to set myself up. I'm going to set this altar for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.